Scott and Rick.
I don't really have a lot to comment on that.
Danny and Sunday have crashed! They've gone into each other!
I wasn't listening. No idea what you're speaking about.
This is the F1 Podcast. Two soft compounds.
Hello there, I'm Scott Hughes.
I'm Rick Horton.
And we are the two soft compounds off the back of an amazing Russian Grand Prix, which we'll talk about in just a second. First of all, though, we've got to mention Lewis Hamilton. Finally done it. 100 race wins. Here's some stats about his career. 7 world championships, 101 pole positions, 100 wins, obviously, 176 podium finishes, 8 Grand Prix wins at the British Grand Prix, 29 wins at different Grand Prix circuits, and a career total of 4,024.5 points. That is unbelievable, isn't it? And he's now won, I think it's something like 35.5% of the races he's entered in, which is just incredible. So he's won 9.5% of all the races he's entered in.
Wow.
And it's, you know, some of these stats you look at, just absolutely incredible. And I think now if you look at some of the previous drivers, he's just matched some incredible records, hasn't he? He's got more race wins than like 3 or 4 other world champions put together. It's an amazing feat.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, there's a lot of people who aren't massive fans of Hamilton for various reasons. But, you know, whether you like him, you don't like him, whether you're in the middle of the road when it comes to Hamilton as a person, I don't think, you know, no one can ignore the achievements that he's made during his Formula One career. He's a fantastic driver, and he proved it again in the race at the weekend. He was just, you know, cool, calm, collected, did the job, won the race. You know, some might say he was lucky to win the race because of what happened with Lando Norris, and we'll talk about that more in a bit. But he did what he does best, and he just, you know, put it on the top step of the podium.
Yeah, I've just looked at those facts. 35.5% of races he's entered, he's won. And he's won 9.5 of all Grand Prix of all time, which is crazy. And he's now won more races than Senna, Lauda and Fangio combined. I mean, like you say, whether you like him or not, that's just incredible stats. He's had the best car, yes, but he's also been up against drivers like, you know, Bottas. Obviously, Rosberg won a world championship, but never got anywhere near what Hamilton did. Bottas has never won a world championship. So, yes, he's got the best car, or he's had the best car for the last 6 or 7 years, but he's also used that to the best of his abilities as well. And he's, you know, won so many races, and you can't, like, whether you're a Hamilton fan or not, and I'm not the world's biggest Hamilton fan. I've got a lot of respect for him. I've got a lot of time for him. I'm not his biggest fan, but that is an incredible feat.
Yeah, it really is. Sochi, then, the weekend, obviously the build-up to the race was plagued with really heavy downpours. At one point, the whole paddock was flooded, and they weren't sure whether they were going to get qualifying done after they cancelled free practice 3 on Saturday. But qualifying did happen, and of course the conditions were damp, but it made for a really exciting qualifying, probably the most exciting we've had for many a year, with 3 people on the top 3 positions on the grid that you just wouldn't have expected normally.
Yeah, and like you say, the rain added an element, and then you've got people taking engine penalties and gearbox penalties and cars out of position and fast cars behind slower cars, and it just had all the ingredients. And I remember kind of looking at the grid on Saturday thinking, this is potentially going to be a great race. And I thought, I'll tell you what would sum this up if we had a bit of rain as well. I think that would make this a mega race. And then when the Sunday came, it literally had everything, didn't it? It had all the ingredients you need for the perfect Grand Prix almost.
Yeah, we said last week on the podcast that we thought Max Verstappen might take the engine penalty at Sochi, mainly because it's a really fast track for Mercedes traditionally anyway, and also you can overtake at Sochi. So I think that was the thinking. He starts from the back, new power unit in the car, and he's going to be able to make his way up the grid, which of course he did in the race. But the rain played a massive, massive part. Lando Norris, who started on pole position, brilliant qualifying for him, and Carlos Sainz and George Russell making up the top 3. But Lando started on pole and managed to lead the race for the entire duration until the rain came down. And there was a controversy. Now, there's a couple of things that I noticed. First of all, when they got on the radio to Lando and said, it's raining, do you want to come in for intermediates? He said no. And that was kind of how it was left. Now, the same call was made by Mercedes to Lewis Hamilton, who, of course, was trying to chase down Lando Norris. And initially, Hamilton ignored the call to come in for wet tyres. He stayed out for an extra lap. And then Toto Wolff got on the radio to Hamilton and went, listen, you are coming in for tyres. We have gone through the strategies here. We are changing tyres to intermediates. And Hamilton, of course, did that. Lando Norris, though, still thought he could win the race on slicks because the rain wasn't getting going to get harder. But the guys on the McLaren pit wall, they're watching the radar. They can tell when the rain's coming and they can tell how heavy it's going to be. Surely they needed to overrule the driver and say, right, get in, switch tyres and you can still win this race.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of sort of experience differences, wasn't there? Mercedes have been here many, many times before and made these calls many times before. McLaren haven't recently, anyway, in recent years. And I do feel that Lando kind of made the call, and you got the impression the team were kind of like, not sure if that's the right call or not, but he's made it. Then you got the radio call, didn't they, where they said Hamilton's come in, and Lando snapped back and went, yeah, I can see that, or whatever. And you could almost tell at that point Lando was like, oh, I've made an error, I should have come in. And it's such a weird one, isn't it? Because when you've got, I think it was 4 laps left of a Grand Prix, you know, if you're driving, and I heard him in a few interviews, he said, listen, at this point, there was a slippery section, but the rest was doable, and I was keeping it on the road, and it was doable, you know. And you got 4 laps left to win your first ever Grand Prix at 21 or whatever he is, and you're thinking, oh, you know, I've just got to hang in there. But it just goes to show, and we've mentioned this before. I've go-karted outside in the rain before, and if you go-kart in the rain on slick tires, it is literally impossible to keep that car straight. It's yeah. like driving on ice. I've never known anything like it. I used to watch these Formula One drivers and laugh and go, these are the best drivers in the world. How can they not keep it on the racetrack? Until you've been on a set of slick tires in rain, you don't realize how crazy it is. And, you know, that was it. The minute that rain come down, he just had no chance, did he? And then he'd left it too late to come in. And I felt so sorry for him. He'd obviously been crying after the race. You could tell all his eyes were kind of puffy, and you could tell he'd had a cry, and he was absolutely gutted. A few people kind of replied on Twitter just saying, you know, they were gutted for him. And I replied to that saying, listen, he's world class. That was a world class drive today. He's so young. That win is going to come. And when it comes, many, many wins will come after that. And in my mind, he's a future world champion. The great thing is here, you know, you look at that front row, and well, you look at the front couple of rows, you've got George Russell, who's out-qualified Hamilton in a Williams. You know, next year, he's in the same car as Hamilton, but he's out-qualifying him in a Williams. And I know there was a bit of rain and all that kind of stuff, a lot of luck involved, but he still did it. You know, George Russell, you got Charles Leclerc, you got Carlos Sainz, you've got Lando Norris. There's so many superb drivers in this next generation. And I think we could see an era of Formula One in the next kind of 10, 15 years where we get a different Formula One world champion every year. And it's really exciting because they're all as good as each other. They're all brilliant.
Yeah, they are. And I think that's the exciting thing as we go for the rule changes, because we really don't know which car's going to be dominant. Obviously, Mercedes have been for the last number of years. But, you know, it could be a completely different team that dominates the technicality aspect of the rule changes and comes out on top. And with so many of these young, great drivers at different teams, it's going to make for a really interesting season next year. So Max Verstappen starts in P20 and finishes on the podium in second place. It was damage limitation, taking the new power unit, but didn't he do well coming through the field? And one thing I noted, I made a note of it on my phone, actually, lap 7, Valtteri Bottas. So Max Verstappen comes up to Bottas, and Bottas literally opened the front door. He went wide on one of the corners to let Verstappen through. Now, surely that's got to be something like, well, Mercedes, you don't want me anymore, so I'm not going to play the team game here. Off you go, Max. Happy days.
Yeah, I mean, it can only be that, can't it? You very much get the impression with Bottas. First of all, he's very calm, he's very relaxed, but he's very unbothered. You know, there was that meme doing the rounds where he's looking back at the screen, and they said, you know, oh, what do you think of the accident from the previous race? And he just kind of shrugged his shoulders and went, whatever. And there's a meme going around now where there's all the Mercedes engines in the background, and it's Bottas just looking around. And the caption is, here's all of my Mercedes engines. He posted that on his own Instagram. So he's obviously thinking, oh, I don't care anymore, whatever. What they're going to do, fire me? Now, the interesting thing is, I don't know if they've got any kind of, if they can punish him. Can they punish him financially? Can they punish him? Is there anything they can do if he's not playing ball in the race like that? Could he say, listen, I went wide. It wasn't my fault. I went wide. He passed me. It's not a lot I can do. I mean, he was having an incredibly average race. At one point, he was 15th, 14th, 15th. And I was thinking, where is Bottas? You know, how has Max Verstappen got all the way up the field like he had? I think Max at this point was 6th or 7th. But how is Max in 6th place and Bottas down in 15th? They were together on the track just now. You know, it just goes to show, I think Bottas has completely given up. And that's not good news for Mercedes going for the Constructors title this year, is it?
No, not at all. I also thought there were some really interesting drives further down the grid. Kimi Raikkonen back after two races away with the COVID virus. I thought he did really quite well. He found himself in eighth place in the after the first 14 laps, remained in the battle for the points from that point onwards, and really held his own quite well against the fastest cars. I wonder if he's, after two races away, is Kimi Raikkonen thinking, is retirement the best option now? Because he clearly missed being in the car because he put on such a good performance. And I also thought Checo Perez was a driver worth mentioning as well, because he ended up finishing the race a place down from where he started, but his drive was great, at one time leading the race, and again, never really brilliant at qualifying, but always puts in a solid performance on a Sunday and makes the tyres work for him and keeps up with the rest of the pack.
Yeah, I think I said last week that Checo's due a bit of good luck, and he's still due a bit of good luck. I feel like he's going to qualify quite high up in the next few races and then have a blinder of a race, because he's definitely due that. But this is the problem, you see. When you've got Bottas, who's uninterested, and then you've got Checo Perez, who's very interested, he will be with Red Bull next year, as we already know. So he's, you know, it's in his sort of intentions to get Red Bull right up there. It could be interesting, this, because I think all the Mercedes kind of stronghold tracks are pretty much behind us now. So it's technically advantage Red Bull for the next few races. You know, Verstappen's done his engine change and got a second place after changing his engine and starting at the back of the grid. So Red Bull, that was enormous damage limitation for them this weekend, and they're in a really good position now. And I think Hamilton and Mercedes once again are on the back foot. I know they're leading the championships, but not by much. And it's going to take one crash or one, you know, not finishing the race, and it's all wide open again. But I just think it's going to be a fascinating end of this season. It's been such a vintage season already, and we've had so many great moments. And it really is, you know, your Prost Senna, you know, those kind of battles that we've had in the past, Hamilton and Rosberg, you know, this is all this again, isn't it? And it's better almost when it's two different teams, because it gets even spicier.
Yeah, so the points lead that Hamilton has over Max Verstappen is just 2 points. The next race is Turkey, and I have a feeling Hamilton's going to make an engine change in Turkey. It's got to be a track where you can start from the back and make progress, as Max Verstappen proved at the race in Sochi. So if Turkey's a good track for overtaking, there's a number of points on that track into turn one towards the end of the lap as well, where you can make overtaking moves stick. It would not surprise me if Hamilton takes an engine penalty next time out, because if he leaves it too long, you don't want to get towards the end of the season in Abu Dhabi and go, okay, so we're almost equal on points. Oh, I've got to change my engine now, because that could be disastrous. So they've got to do it sooner rather than later, I think.
Yeah, 100%. They need to get that out of the way, particularly now Max has done his as well. You know, they need to pull that trigger, get that done, get it out of the way. But again, it just, the pendulum swings backwards and forwards, doesn't it? Just when you think, well, Red Bull are on the back foot this race, they're going to have a shocker, they end up second. So Mercedes must be kicking themselves going, oh, you know, this was our chance to really capitalize and really get some strong points. Bottas was kind of nowhere for most of the race, and Hamilton obviously won it eventually, but it wasn't easy for them. And Red Bull finishing second is not great for them at all, is it? So it's going to be really interesting. But like you say, they need to pull that trigger sooner rather than later, because if they leave that too late, it's too much damage to make up. And yeah, it will be Verstappen's title.
I know we've mentioned him briefly, but George Russell, I mean, getting P3, a stunning qualifying lap on Saturday, as we've seen from him before. And of course, British drivers, we always say, are best in the wet, because, you know, they start go-karting when they're very young, and of course the weather in this country is not great, so they learn to drive in the wet probably better than some of the European drivers do. But getting P3, I thought, was amazing. It was a stunning qualifying lap, and then at the start of the race, he managed to hold on to P3 for a good long while before the pit stop sort of started. He was right up there, and then basically, because his car is just not as powerful as the others, he fell down the order. But another point, another world championship point for George Russell, and of course, everything to look forward to for next year.
Yeah, I can't wait to see him in that Mercedes. And this is the interesting thing. If Hamilton doesn't win this title this year, this could be potentially his last real opportunity, because I think when you've got Hamilton in that other Mercedes next year, you've got Verstappen in the Red Bull next year. Who knows, like you say, with the rule changes, who's going to be up there? The Ferrari could be amazing again. You know, any of these teams, McLaren, Alpine, they could all be up there. And I just think that this is kind of like the last chance for Hamilton to have a dead cert at winning a title. And I think they're on the back foot. And like I say, if he doesn't win it this year, that could be it for the eighth world title. It's going to be fascinating.
Yep, it really is. We'll take a quick preview of the Turkish Grand Prix in the next few minutes. But first, let's get some stats from Nicky at Lights Out. He provides brilliant professional stats right across the race weekends and in between meetings as well. Here's him looking back at the Russian Grand Prix.
Hamilton reaches 100. Norris takes his first pole and Sainz lines up on the front row for the first time. Here are the top statistics from the 2021 Russian Grand Prix weekend. Let's start with Saturday, when Lando Norris recorded the first pole position of his Formula One career. Norris became the 102nd different driver to take pole position in World Championship history, and the 18th British driver to do so. He became the 5th youngest pole sitter in F1, recording McLaren's first pole since the 2012 Brazilian Grand Prix. Norris went on to lead the majority of the Russian Grand Prix and came close to winning the race until the weather conditions changed. He finished the race in 7th place, which, although a disappointing result, is still his best ever Russian Grand Prix finishing position. This was the 9th World Championship Grand Prix in which the pole sitter has finished in 7th place. It last happened at the 2020 Italian Grand Prix. Lewis Hamilton became the first driver to reach a century of Formula One victories at the Russian Grand Prix. He won the Sochi race for a 5th time, extending his record for most Russian Grand Prix victories. As well as recording his 100th win, Hamilton became the first driver to have scored 4,000 points in his Formula One career. Hamilton won the Russian Grand Prix with a win margin of 53.271 seconds. That's the largest win margin since his victory at the 2008 British Grand Prix over 13 years ago. He remains the only driver to have completed every racing lap held in Sochi since the circuit joined the calendar in 2014, as well as one of only two drivers to score every running of the event so far. With second place, Max Verstappen equaled Red Bull's best Russian Grand Prix result. Verstappen is only the 6th driver to finish on the podium, having started 20th on the grid. Picking up an engine penalty for this race, Verstappen failed to set a lap time in Q1. He therefore recorded his first Q1 exit since the 2019 Italian Grand Prix. It was the first time he's not qualified in the top 3 since the 2020 Italian Grand Prix. Carlos Sainz set the second fastest time in qualifying and recorded the first front row start of his Formula One career. In the race, Sainz finished on the podium for the 5th time, but this was only the 3rd time that the Spaniard has actually stood on the podium. Sainz becomes the 100th driver to reach 5 podium finishes in his career, and the 9th different driver to finish on the podium at the Russian Grand Prix. The Spaniard led the opening 12 laps of the race, leading more laps in the Russian Grand Prix than he had done in the previous 132 races in his Formula One career.
Nice one, Nicky. If you're into your Formula One facts and stats, I can never say that, facts and stats. It's a hard expression, but he's got some blinding stuff, like you say. Just go to his Twitter page and just some amazing stuff. I follow his Twitter across the weekends and I'm always scrolling up going, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, that's interesting. Oh, that's good. At Lights Out is where you can find him on Twitter. So Turkey next. You're a big fan. I always like to judge it on how you play these tracks on your PlayStation or whatever it is you've got. You're a big fan of Turkey from memory, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I'm a bit miffed that it's not on the current generation of Formula One games on the PlayStation, because I like to... Before we do a podcast or before the race weekend, I like to drive the circuit. Thinking of myself as some kind of simulator expert, which of course I'm not. Turkey, I really like Turkey. It's got that famous, I think it's turn 7, which is like a 50 pence piece. So there's several apexes they have to hit, and it's virtually flat out in that section of the track. So that's spectacular to watch. Turn 1 in the past has given us some exciting overtaking opportunities. It's all about outbreaking your competitor into that first left-hand turn. And towards the end of the lap, there's also some fairly tight corners and a few chicanes, which make racing quite interesting. So in terms of a track that is entertaining to watch cars at, Turkey has it for me, and I think it should be on the calendar full time. Obviously, it dropped in last year and this year because of the COVID virus, but it would nice to see it return permanently. And it's also a very easy track for the teams to get to from all of their European locations, and the same for spectators. So I think it'll be a good race in 2 weeks' time. It'll be really entertaining.
I've seen some potential race calendars for next year, and it is very much all over the place at the moment because obviously the situation with COVID over the world is all very different depending on where you go. So it's still very up in the air. But I noticed as well that the last race this year, I think it's the 13th of December, isn't it? Something like that, 13th or 14th of December, which I can't remember a Formula One race ever being that late into December before. I think this must be one of the latest ends of a season, surely.
Yeah, and as we mentioned on the podcast last week, Abu Dhabi was always a bit of a damp squib for the final race of the season, especially if the championship was up for grabs at that particular circuit. But they have made improvements. They've got rid of that annoying chicane before the back straight that slowed the pack up and caused some accidents in the past. So they basically replaced that with just a very tight hairpin bend at the end of the circuit, which leads on to the long back straight. And then after that second straight on the back part of the circuit, they've taken out the fiddly little chicane that was up at that end as well, which I never really liked. I don't think the drivers liked it either. It wasn't great for the cars, punishing them over the curbs. They've removed that and turned it into a sweeping left-hand turn, which means they'll carry more speed off the straight into the last part of the circuit. So that's going to be quite interesting. And the other one to look out for is Saudi Arabia. I don't know if you've seen the plans or watched the video, which you can find on YouTube, of a simulator version, a virtual version of that track. It looks absolutely spectacular. It's very fast. It's got very few sharp turns, so the Mercedes cars will love it. There's one bit where it goes through sort of like an amphitheater, which is going to have different levels on it. So there's going to be like restaurants and bars and stuff that the track actually goes through. It looks pretty spectacular.
I'm very excited. I'm going to go and watch that on YouTube right now. The other thing I wanted to quickly mention as well, did you see the pre-Sky race footage of the Aston Martin drivers driving the old DB5s and some of the Aston Martin cars from the James Bond films? I thought that was fascinating as well, because you had the James Bond stunt driver who's, I think he's Mark Higgins, his name. He's an ex-rally driver. And he was obviously doing the stunts and showing them what to do, and they were trying to copy him. And it fascinated me how they weren't that great. I thought, well, there's hope for us all. Yeah, I mean, these guys are obviously the best in the world at driving very fast. But when you get them to do something a little bit different in a car and get them to do some precision driving, you know, they were good, don't get me wrong, but they didn't pick it up as quickly as I thought they might. So I found that quite fascinating. There's hope for us all yet.
Yeah, Fernando Alonso, I think, would have been good at it, because he can turn his hand to anything with a motor in the back of it, can't he?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, listen, we'll be here next week to give our full preview of the Turkish Grand Prix as the World Championship gets exciting again. Max Verstappen in second place, Lewis Hamilton just 2 points ahead of him, leading the World Championship, with a question mark over whether he's going to have to change his power unit or not as we go to Turkey. It's going to be fascinating. Join us again next week for more Two Soft Compounds.
Follow Two Soft Compounds on Twitter and Facebook. Search for Two Soft Compounds. Two Soft Compounds is a talk about media production. All opinions are our own.